Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to Lana's Talk. It is a wonderful Thursday night. We're going to get this show started. We're going to go ahead and get a little music playing here. So I hope that everybody can hear that. I do not own the rights to this song. Listen to this. Let it sink in.
A thousand lives have made me colder, and I don't think I can look at this the same.
Hey Corey, how's it going tonight?
But all the miles that separate,
out on the road. Those miles between you and your family, between you and your loved ones. Talk about the dangers tonight and the stress that is on family members and the professional drivers out on the road with the riots going on and just the mannerisms of other drivers because they are so stressed out about, you know, their lives. You are fearing for your lives. Your family is fearing for your lives that drivers are doing crazy things, you know. I appreciate you tuning in tonight. Share this video out. Make sure you're calling into the show. 516-387-1733, push extension 1. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear what it is like for you, you know, as a family member, or even as a driver, a professional driver out on the road, female or male, you know, the concerns and worries that you have every day out there on the road because of the stress that we're under and our federal government not caring about us. Elaine Chao said, it is not their responsibility to care for the drivers or be concerned about your safety. So, you know, even though it is, it is, but they don't, you're right, FMCSA does not care about us or care about our safety. And so our families at home, we get, you know, being at home, I worry about my husband's safety all the time out there on the road. You know, being sent into hostile areas, still dealing with the coronavirus, you know, the demeanor of other drivers right now, you know. I have a story that I'm going to read that Transportation Nation had put out, but, you know, we got a little bit serious in the beginning of the show, so let's take it down a notch. I just want to read you guys this. I got this off Facebook. I can't remember who posted it, but it says, 7 reasons you've been trucking too long. When your wife or husband asks you to help him or her carry groceries into the house and you tell him or her to go ahead and hire a lumper. That's funny. You say, you can't believe that babysitter doesn't take comm checks. What? Everybody takes comm checks these days, right? You know, you're unable to make a phone call that doesn't start with 1-800. Your kids call you at work because they forgot his lunch money, and you tell them, hold on a minute, you'll have to get them, you'll give them a PO number. Oh, shoot, are you kidding me? We're going to get my co-host on here. She's close to me tonight. Hey, Susie, good to have you.
Hey, Lana. How are you tonight, dear?
Oh, I'm good. I'm just kind of going over these little jokes that I got going on here right now, trying to lighten things up a little bit. And I was on number 5. How are you tonight? How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm good, Lana. How are you?
Oh, you know, blessed, living another wonderful day. So I'm on number 5 here, reasons you've been trucking too long. You're driving the family car and your kids want to go by a friend's house on the way home. And you tell them, nope, too far out of route. So, you know, can't go too far out of route. Number 6, about how you were an hour late picking them up. You tell them to quit whining. They know you only paid attention after 3 hours. What the heck? Quit whining. You know they only paid attention after 3 hours. This is the best one. Your wife or husband calls you from the hospital. He or she is in, well, it's going to have to be a she. It can't be a he. Okay, your wife calls from the hospital. She's in the delivery room having a baby. The only word that sticks in your head is delivery, and you tell your wife, okay, call me when you're empty. What the heck? You know, you've been in trucking way too long. If you say any of these things to your boyfriend, girlfriend, spouses, or whatever. So,
that's
the joke
tonight.
Yeah, it's so wrong. That's the joke for the night, you know. So tonight we're going to be talking about what it is like to have a family member, be a wife, be a husband, be a daughter, brother, sister, aunt, uncle. I did a segment on this earlier in my show several months ago, you know. We talked about how trucking affects family members, you know, and all of the sacrifices that family members have to make in order for us to do what we love to do, or in order for us to do what we know how to do, and that's truck, to make money for our family. So we miss out on a lot of stuff. Our family misses out on a lot of stuff, and, you know, our kids grow up without moms or dads, you know, brothers and sisters grow up without brothers and sisters when they get older, aunts and uncles, grandmas and grandpas, because that's just the way of the trucking industry. And, you know, it didn't used to be as stressful as it currently is. You know, we have riots going on all over the country. We have looting going on all over the country. Drivers are, you know, getting killed and beaten. I printed these articles off from Transportation Nation. You guys ever really want to know what's going on in the world and you want the truth and you want true journalism, go to Transportation Nation Network. Micah is the journalist on that, and he prints real news. He prints true news. He does not fabricate or leave anything out, you know. I would like to start off talking about the most current thing that has happened. And, oh, okay. There was a female trucker that was beaten to death. And I, at the school that I was attending, one of her family members was actually, had just started attending the school. And so, you know, this is going to be a very touchy subject. I can't get real depth in with it, but I can share the news that Transportation Nation Network has posted about it. So in Birmingham, Alabama, a man has been charged with the August 19th roadside murder of a veteran trucker, Christina Summers. She has been in the trucking industry for a long time. She is a veteran trucker. According to the Alabama State Bureau of Investigation, the murder occurred on Wednesday, August 19th, on Interstate 5920, close to mile marker 118 near Fairfield, Alabama. Summers was a 53-year-old resident of Hazel Green, Alabama, at the time of her death. She had been a trucker for 30 years. 30 years, guys. 30 years. You know, man. Last week, a post by Summers' family revealed haunting new details about the circumstances surrounding her brutal murder. The family said Summers, along with her husband, Lamar, had been team driving together for 20 years. Lamar recently had to come off the road due to health issues, and Summers continued as a solo driver for Nashville, Tennessee-based carrier RTR Transportation Services. The family stated Summers was talking with her husband on a headset as she was traveling I-5920 and told him she thought she may have hit somebody. Local news outlet Alabama.com reported Summers got off the phone with Lamar, called 911, and exited her truck. Upon the exit, she encountered 39-year-old Charles Lebstard Gibson. Gibson allegedly attacked Summers unprovoked and left her for dead on the side of the interstate. The brutal attack was reportedly captured on a 911 call. So the 911 officer heard this brutal attack going on. Gibson fled the scene. A short time later, trucker Oswald Johnson, who was on his way to deliver to a Mercedes plant, drove upon Summers' rig parked on the side of I-59 and 20. Johnson said as he was looking to make sure the truck was not about to pull into his path, he noticed someone on the ground. He stopped his truck and found a bloody Summers unresponsive and her keys in her hand and a flashlight nearby. The truck was locked and nothing appeared to have been taken. Johnson immediately called 911, assuming Summers had fallen from the truck's catwalk. Because, you know, that happens all the time. We misstep and we fall. So I can understand why he would have assumed that. Meanwhile, Gibson made his way to Hughtown, Alabama, approximately 6 miles away from where the attack occurred, where officials received a call about a man in the middle of Allison Bonnet Memorial Drive about an hour after Summers' body was found. Police Chief Mike Yarborough with the Hughtown Police Department said the department was aware of the homicide and took Gibson into custody to await questioning in connection with Summers' murder. According to Chief Yarborough, Gibson became violent once at the jail and attacked two HPD officers. Specific details on the attack was not revealed, but Chief Yarborough stated the officers received minor injuries as the result. You know, on August 22nd, a murder warrant was obtained by ASBI against Gibson, and he was transferred to Jefferson County Jail. He has been charged with murder, so her murderer has been caught. I know it doesn't help the situation. It doesn't bring her back. And should it have happened? No, it should not have happened. It should not have happened, but it did. And her murderer was caught, and he will be brought to justice. He has been charged with murder and two counts of aggravated assault on the police officer. Arrest record reveals Gibson had previous arrests for rape, burglary, animal cruelty, and felony probation violations. However, all of those charges have been dismissed. He remains in Jefferson County Jail on a $1.5 million bond. Summers was laid to rest on August 23rd. I am so sorry about the loss of a sister. And I'm sure that the reason that she pulled over, because she is a veteran trucker and she has the camaraderie of trucking still. And she just thought maybe he was in trouble and she just wanted to help him. And I understand. I probably would do the same thing. I'm very guilty, aren't you, Susie, of when you see somebody on the side of the road of pulling over and helping them?
Well, you know, I used to be, but I have to say that one of the reports says that she was actually on the phone with her husband and said that she thought she hit something in the road or someone. So it sounded like to me he kind of was just looking. This guy must have been a psychopath. I hate to say that. You know, but in my opinion, he had to be a psychopath to do something like that just out of cold blood. You know, it sounded like to me maybe this guy kind of set her up. You know, that was his plan. Let's throw something at this truck, make them think that they've hit me. You know, and of course he wouldn't have known whether the driver was male or female at the time.
You are right.
It's just very unfortunate. You know, something similar. Well, I won't say similar. Something happened like that here in Tennessee. It was actually an incident where he had a minor accident on the interstate, and he got out, or I don't even think they had an accident. I think what happened was there was a driver that felt like the truck driver cut him off. And he got around the truck and cut him off and forced him to stop on the side of the interstate. And then he shot him and he killed him. And, you know, he was never charged because they claimed it was self-defense, even though, according to witnesses, the truck driver never showed a weapon. But he did apparently have a weapon in his truck. But to me, if that weapon wasn't brought outside of the truck, then how could it be self-defense? If he never threatened someone with the gun, then that's, you know, your life is in imminent danger before you're allowed to shoot.
Yes, you are right. You have to feel and you have to prove that your life was in imminent danger. You know?
Right.
There was another incident that happened here where I live, actually, you know, in O'Fallon, Missouri, which is not too far from where I live. A 68-year-old Missouri trucker was beaten to death in what a police are calling a road rage incident over the weekend. This was on September 2nd. This was, what is today? I don't even know what today is. What's today?
Today is the 3rd.
The 2nd, right? So this weekend. So this just happened this weekend. Okay. Yes, a Missouri trucker was beaten to death by what police are calling a road rage incident over the weekend. Guys, this is how dangerous it is out there right now. We're seeing more and more and more of this going on. You know, the police are reporting that this suspect is still at large. Third, everybody keeps saying the third. So this is the third incident that happened. Oh, today's the third. Thank you. I'm lost in my days. Sorry, guys. Thank you. So they say that the family of Ron Lawson of Winfield, Missouri, said he passed away on Sunday following an altercation along westbound Highway 40, Interstate 64 in O'Fallon, just west of Route K. Lawson was an off-duty and operating his personal vehicle, a dark blue Ford. Oh, Jesus, you can keep watching or listening to it. You don't have to shut your phone off. If you want to just call into the show, you can call into the 516. I don't even know my number. 516-387-1733, and you can just listen onto your phone. You don't got to watch it on Facebook Live. That's why we do it from the Blog Talk, and that's why we do it from Facebook, for people who don't want to tie their phone up listening to the show, and they would rather just watch it later. So, but yeah, call into 516-387-1733, put your headset on, and roll down the road. It's just like a talk show. So they were saying that he was in his personal vehicle, a dark blue Ford F-150 at the time of the incident. According to the Missouri Highway Patrol, officers responded to a report of a fight on the interstate at 11:30 in the morning on a Sunday. When officials arrived, they discovered the 68-year-old man unconscious and in critical condition inside his pickup truck. Witnesses told investigators a man assaulted Lawson on the side of the road before getting into a black Dodge pickup, pulling a trailer and fleeing the scene. Lawson was transported to a nearby hospital but later died due to blunt force trauma to the head. Witness revealed the black Dodge was parked behind Lawson's Ford in the westbound lane at the time of the assault. A probable cause statement issued by the authorities indicated the suspect ran toward the victim and punched him in his face. Boom, punched him in his face. Lawson then fell onto the ground in the right lane of the interstate before being punched at least one additional time, investigators said. Lawson was then placed back into his truck by the suspect. So the suspect beat the crap out of him and put him back in his truck. Put him back in the truck. According to Lawson's family, he was a longtime trucker and was always safe on the road. Keyword, always safe on the road. What do you guys think is happening that it is not safe for us to be out there anymore? It's not. And there's controversy going on about whether you can legally carry a firearm in your truck. I don't want to really go into that because I don't know a whole lot about that, but so there is, Susie, there's controversy going on about that.
Yeah, because the laws aren't always reciprocal. So it's not necessarily, if you have a concealed carry and you live in Tennessee, that law doesn't apply in other states. So, like, if you went in Chicago, just because you have a concealed carry in Tennessee, you go into Chicago, you're breaking the law, you know, because they have stricter gun laws than we have in Tennessee. So,
yep.
It's not always
yep,
illegal
right.
for you to be carrying. So, you know, it's one of it's kind of a catch-22 because while you want to carry because you want to protect your life, at the same time, if something, you know, happened and you got pulled over for an inspection or whatever, you know, and you happen to get that officer and they end up searching your truck for whatever reason, they find a gun, well, then, you know, your life is ended, because not in the sense that you're gone from the world, but, you know, you're going to be arrested and, you know, charged with a felony. And so in that aspect, you know, then you've really screwed your life up. And it's kind of not fair, because the thing is these drivers should have a way to protect themselves. They shouldn't be treated any differently. And then you also have some companies that don't allow, you know, for those company drivers, they don't allow weapons in their truck. So, you know, it's one of those things. And right now with the riots going on, you have this situation, you know, you look back and everybody always points back to Reginald Denny in 1992. He was a 39-year-old construction worker driving for Transit Mix. And his beating was actually televised. And it was after the verdict of Rodney King, the officers in the Rodney King case. You know, they beat that man, and it was obvious police brutality. It was pretty bad. And they were all acquitted, which caused major unrest in Los Angeles. And Denny, while they were televising it, the police refused to enter the city. They wouldn't go save him. So thank goodness that the helicopter was televising it, because it ended up four bystanders that were watching it on TV. They came to his aid, and I actually wrote down their names, because I thought, you know, how cool was it that these people who did not even know this man. There was a 29-year-old trucker. His name was Bobby Green, someone named Lay Yule, and an African-American couple, T.J. Murphy and Terry Barnett, went to his rescue and actually drove him to a hospital. Now, Reginald Denny had 91 fractures in his skull, Lana. 91. And, of course, it damaged his brain. He was unconscious for 5 days. Well, the guy that hit, one of the guy's names was Henry Kiki Watson. He only served 6 months in jail time. They gave him just minor charges. Well, him and Reginald Denny went on the Phil Donahue show. Do you remember that show?
On what?
They went on the Phil Donahue.
Yeah, I remember that. Hey, Jason, can you mute your phone or turn your volume down? Okay, yeah, go. So yes, I remember the Phil Donahue show.
They went on the Phil Donahue show, and he apologized to Reginald Denny, and Denny accepted his apology, and I guess they shook hands, hugged, whatever. Well, then when he left there, that Watson, when he left there and talked to the press, he told the press he had no regrets about his behavior whatsoever. But the reason Denny forgave him is because he said that he felt like, you know, it wasn't necessarily his fault, the unrest and things. But he also, you know, Reginald Denny was driving a semi at the time that happened, and he became stuck at that red light because he didn't want to hurt them. He didn't want to run them
right.
over.
That's
so
right.
He was trying to do the right thing, and it almost cost him his life.
Yes, it did. You're right. It almost did cost him his life. And there's another driver that's going through almost the exact same thing as Reginald. Bogdan Bertko, right? Bertko?
Right.
Is that how you say his name?
I wrote it down, Lana, but I don't know if I'll be able to pronounce it.
Okay. Well, we know his first name is Bogdan.
Yes.
You know, so... You know, we're not English teachers here, so our enunciation of things, please don't take offense if we don't say it correctly. We try. So, yeah, is that Bogdan Bertko? He was the driver that went through Minnesota when the people were up in Minnesota burning that city down because George Floyd got killed. And he's a hero. Because he also didn't want to hurt anybody. So what did he do? What did he do?
And you know what was really sad in the Bogdan situation was, you know, he slowed down. He eventually came to a stop. He could have plowed through that crowd of people, but he didn't. He slowed down. He came to the stop, and those people opened both of his doors. They jumped on his truck, pulled him out of the truck, and here's what was, to me, what spoke volumes about what he went through. After he was, you know, gotten out of the situation, after the cops intervened, you know, his injuries were very, very minor, which, of course, you know, they did take him to jail for a while, but they ended up letting him go, and no charges were ever brought against him. I did check into that today, and they never brought charges against him. Thank goodness. But his phone was left in the truck. I believe they said his wallet was still in the truck.
Yes.
They ended up calling that poor man's wife and making horrible threats on her life. You know, I believe, if I'm understanding what I've read correctly, they've had to move because these people now had his address. His wife, I want to say, was like 7 months pregnant at the time of the incident. But I just don't understand. You know, they called for him to be charged, these protesters wanted him to be charged. That was the ultimate goal, I guess, in their mind, was that he would be charged with attempted murder or whatever they wanted to see come out of it. But they really disrupted that man's life, you know, and I can't imagine the mental torment that that has caused for his family. Because I imagine putting myself in his wife's shoes, that would be so terrifying for me, to know that these people had gotten that close.
Well, and you know, it can happen to any of our loved ones that are out there on the road. You know, Bogdan, he could have drove right through those people. You know, he could have, you know, locked those brakes up. He was fully loaded with fuel. If he would have locked those brakes up, he would have jackknifed that trailer, and he would have killed hundreds of people, and the trailer would have exploded, and he would have participated in burning that city down unconsciously, you know, not knowing. But he's a freaking hero. He saved so many people's lives that day by stopping and by taking the beating, you know. And because of that incident, because of the FedEx driver where the rioters got caught in between, you know, the pup trailers and died, you know, we have to worry more about our loved ones out on the road. You know, every time, I don't know about you, but every time Keith walks out this door, Susie, I'm very concerned about him, especially more now with all of the dangers going on, the shootings, this woman getting killed, you know, I mean, and you just never know. I mean, there'll be peace and quiet, and then all of a sudden, boom, you know, Wisconsin is on fire, you know? So, and your husband is sitting at the truck stop down the road. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do as a wife, as a business owner, you know. How do I continue to run my business, make money, keep my husband safe, you know, and I have gotten a lot of gray hairs and concerns over his safety. And all we want to do is our job. We just want to pick up the goods. We just want to take them to where they need to go so that the country...
Oh, my God!
What?
Really?
So
what is going on?
I don't know. I don't know what's going on. We have a caller on the phone. I think she might have something going on in the background.
You will be killing somebody.
Okay. I don't know what that's all about.
Yeah, me neither. Sorry.
Oh. It's okay. I'm not sure what that was about. Somebody was in the background hollering that you're going to be killing somebody, so we're gonna mute that. I just, you know, I don't know about you being a business owner and your husband being a driver, the concerns that you have when he goes out that door, you know, because my husband's over the road, you know, and I know that your husband does some over the road, but he's mainly local, right?
He's regional, Lana, so he goes out for a few days, but typically he goes out and then comes back home. He's not out in the sense of gone for weeks at a time. Like this week, he's going to be out for 4 days, but then he'll be back home. But, you know, I still worry. I mean, you know, I don't see how anyone doesn't worry.
You know, we worry, you know, the drivers, the professional drivers, the families at home, when the coronavirus, we have to worry about them coming in contact with that and getting sick and then bringing it back to us. And we know that a lot of professional drivers, they have sick ones at home, you know, sick children at home. I know somebody that works, you know, in the trucking industry that has a daughter that's fighting, you know, cancer. She's just a child. And he has to worry about bringing, you know, the corona back to her. But what is he supposed to do? He has to work with to fight and pay for her bills.
Are you going to hold again?
No.
Right.
You,
my
husband, I'm worried about him getting sick and bringing something back. But now we have to worry about actual safety. Because this world has gone crazy, and our government is not helping in any mannerism whatsoever to set any DOT rules to give us any type of protection. You know, the gun laws won't change where we can carry guns in our semis, you know, because in each state, you're right, the laws are different, and it's always the trucker's fault, even if it's not our fault, it's always our fault. So we are guilty.
Yeah, I know for a while.
You know,
were up in the air about whether or not they were going to charge the FedEx driver. And I just really was blown away by that. I don't understand. Well, and Bogdan, too. How was that ever even a question? Because, again, you know, not only are our drivers risking their lives in the sense of, they're out there driving in all this mess and in this crazy time that we're living in. And never mind the everyday hazards on the road. You know, you never know what's going to happen on the road. A blown tire can turn into a major wreck.
Yep.
But now we're having to worry about, okay, if something happens and they do run into a situation such as what Bogdan ran into, or such as what the FedEx driver had happened to them, you know, they could very easily end up in prison for the rest of their natural life because they made a choice to save their own life.
Yep, that's right. You know, and all we're trying to do is deliver the goods to keep the country running. Yes. We're paying the ultimate price. Our families are paying the ultimate price. And our government doesn't want to do anything to help us. Jason?
Sorry,
hello.
Hi, Jason.
Hi,
you're on Lana's Talk. Yes, I can hear you. How are you tonight?
Good. How about yourself?
Great. So how's things going out there on the road for you tonight, Jason?
Oh, pretty good. No, sorry about it. Just a little bit ago. That was my wife. I kind of scared her a little bit. I got her with me on the road this week. Anyway, I was going to comment on the subject that you all were talking about not being able to carry firearms and stuff like that. I mean,
yes,
you know, it's like you all have been saying, it is getting so dangerous out here anymore because I'm seeing from time to time, I see people on the overpasses, you know, getting ready to throw stuff off and And it's like every other week, my wife is with me. And when I leave the house, me and her is constantly on FaceTime. And it's very stressful out here on me and her both, because, you know, I'm trying to pay attention to the road and, you know, worrying about what's going on at home and everything else. And it's just like very stressful, you know. And I don't understand why that DOT won't try to fix some way that we can carry something to protect ourselves with.
Oh, I totally agree. You know, it has to change your mannerism out there. You know, I was just reading about a driver getting upset because another driver was in a truck wash bay too long, so he decided to just push him through the bay. You know, I don't think that would happen, you know, 6 months ago. But with all of the stress that you guys are under out there, because if you're fearing for your lives every day that you go out, more so than you were prior to these riots happening and the looting happening, do you fear more for your life now? Does your family fear more for your life now than they did 6 months ago?
No, absolutely. I mean, you know, that's just like every time I leave the house and my wife don't come out with me, you know. I worry there's something going to happen that I'm not going to make it back home or, you know, or anything else. And that's my biggest fear when I'm out here by myself on the road, you know.
Susie, do you worry? I mean, I know you said that you worry about, you know, your husband when he leaves to go out. Being regional, you know, it could happen. And you live in the South, right?
Yes, we live in the South.
Yeah. Yes. So, I mean, how dangerous has it been there?
We've been okay here. I don't know if you're aware, but Tennessee just started the process, and I think it's getting very close to being put into law. They've passed some pretty restrictive laws in place about protesting. They intend to keep it peaceful, and if they don't, they're going to face some pretty stiff penalties. So I'm pretty proud of my state right now. They're not playing around. So, you know, I more so have to worry about my husband when he goes out of state, when he goes to Virginia and other places. He mostly travels Virginia. He does do some traveling down into Dallas, the Dallas area. That's when I get nervous, because there's been some pretty bad stuff happen down there. And it definitely weighs on me. It weighs on me hard, you know. And like I said, it's not just these riots, it's the everyday stuff, you know, it's people throwing things off of overpasses. I don't understand. For me, what I don't understand is why people are targeting truck drivers. It makes no sense to me why a job such as a truck driver, that is literally the only reason, these drivers are the only reason why we in America have anything we have. Without them,
right,
we literally have nothing.
Nothing.
So
absolutely.
Why are they targeting truck drivers? I mean, they shouldn't target anyone. Don't get me wrong. I'm not advocating for them to hurt anyone. But it blows my mind the rate at which people target our drivers.
Yes, it blows my mind, too. I do not understand why the drivers have become a target, other than the fact that we have the looters. You know, now we have the thieves, as they can beat the driver, you know, and then they steal the stuff from the trucks because they don't want to pay for their stuff because they feel like they're entitled to it. You know, I'm not sure. I'm not understanding, you know. This whole damn thing started because a black man was killed by a police officer. They started, Black Lives Matters stuff, but yet we're killing black people. We're looting black people's stores. We're killing black children. So it's not about Black Lives Matter. You know, they are targeting everybody. They are targeting truck drivers because they don't want to pay for their stuff. And because they're getting away, I think they are so full of rage from the government, you know, locking us down from the coronavirus, and they want to be rebels. And so now they have a free rein to do what they want to do because the police are afraid to do their jobs. They're not allowed to do their jobs.
Yep.
That's what
they're
I was
allowed
say.
Their job.
They're literally being restrained and told by the powers that be that they have to stand down.
Yes.
You know, and that,
you know, and
that's something that confuses me because I guess from their standpoint, the reason they're telling them to stand down is because the whole thing got started over, you know, the police officer, the George Floyd video. So they don't want the people to have any further reason to say, you know, the police are being us. You know, and I think we could all agree that the video of George Floyd was just heinous. It was a terrible thing. It was gut-wrenching to watch that video.
I have not watched
but again,
that video. I absolutely refuse to watch the
terrible.
Video.
Well, you probably shouldn't.
Yeah, I agree with Susie. It was a bad video.
It was terrible. So I think that everyone could agree that has watched that video could agree that that officer, he definitely did not need to, in my opinion, I think that officer may have had some anger issues at the moment, if I'm being quite honest, because even if
I want to ask you this. Even if the officer had some anger problems and he took it out on George, what right does that have? What right do the people of Minnesota have to take it out on innocent bystanders who had nothing to do with that? Bogdan didn't have anything to do with that. The FedEx driver didn't have anything to do with that. But you know, I'm sorry, there's absolutely no excuse for those people's behavior and the harm that they have done, regardless of what that police officer had did, right or wrong or indifferent.
Oh, that is absolutely 110% true. I don't feel like anything is getting accomplished by, you know, more violence. I don't understand how they think they being the people who are looting and rioting and burning. Now, I'm all about a peaceful protest. That's protected by our Constitution.
That's
you know,
constitutional.
We have the right to peaceful protest. And
we the people have
protest,
the right to stand up and protect ourselves. And, hold on. We got a my phone just fell over. Every week,
uh-oh,
guys, we have some kind of audio and visual thing. So go ahead. Sorry.
But, you know, peaceful protesting, I feel like, is a protected right. And, you know, it should be done and can be done and it will always be done. But what I will never be okay with is destroying property, stealing, and murdering or even you don't even have to murder someone. You don't have the right to put your hands on someone else. Done nothing to deserve that behavior. I mean, I've been very appalled by it all. You know, the truck drivers, you know, have been targeted, but also you see you know, this guy that was just murdered because he was wearing a hat that said Patriot Prayer is what it said on his hat. And they clearly on the video, you can hear them say, we have one here. We have a Trumper right here. And someone else said, oh, right here. And they said, yeah. And they shot the guy, shot him in the street and killed him for no other reason than he had a hat on that said Patriot Prayer.
You know, I don't know about you, but I'm going to tell you right now, my husband supports Donald Trump, and he is a full-blooded patriot. He is a full-blooded American, and he wants to put, he has a Donald Trump flag and an American flag that he wants to put on our truck, and I will not let him do that because I fear his safety. I fear for his safety.
Right.
When did the United States of America, you know, become so bad of a place to live in that if you put it out there who you support or that you're an American, a patriot, you're going to get killed for it? This is not the United States of America. And our government is letting it happen. You know, these governors and mayors won't even let the president bring any help in to get these cities back under control. They're just letting the shit burn down, all because of their beliefs, or all because of who they want in office, or, you know, why should my
well, you just
not
hit
be-
it. You just
go ahead.
You just nailed it, Lena. The reason why it's being allowed to go on is because it's an election year.
Yep, I agree.
This.
Go ahead, Jason. I was just going to say that, you know, it's like you were saying, these mayors and these governors of these cities, they won't let Trump bring in National Guard. They won't let him bring in military to get these cities back under control. And he's doing the best he can to get everything back under control with what he can. And with what power that he's got, you know? Man, that's just like me. You are talking about all these protests and everything going on. You know, I haul important loads out of Edgerton, Kansas, which is Amazon. And you all know how valuable that is.
Yes.
And that's what one thing that worries me when I go through St. Louis every day, because you know, I'm always worried, and I'm looking around for people that's all ganging up to start protest. Because if something happens, you know, then they're going to hold me responsible for that load because it's an Amazon load.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I was talking to a driver the other night who was in Wisconsin, and he said, oh, my God, I hear gunshots. I said, get the hell out of there. What are you even doing in Wisconsin? Why are you there? Oh, well, my dispatch sent me here. You know, they told me that this was the only load that, you know, they could find me, so, and I needed to take it. And I said, oh, so you just took it. You're going to endanger your life. Where you're at, you can hear gunshots going off, and you can't leave there? No. No, sir.
I wouldn't have took it.
No, sir. Yeah, so he did. He could not sleep because he was so afraid of dying. That's not
Well, you know,
fair
though, Lena, if we could do it, if we could get all truck drivers, and it would have to be all truck drivers, even company drivers, if we could get them all to stop carrying loads, to refuse to carry loads into these where all of the craziness is going on, eventually we would get their attention. We wouldn't even, Donald Trump wouldn't have to send in troops because pretty quickly those mayors and powers that be, those politicians, would realize if we don't want to starve to death.
If they don't get their damn wine and beer.
right?
Exactly.
If we don't get it together, you know, we're all going to be hungry very quickly.
You know, when they go down to the damn liquor store to buy their damn alcohol so they can get drunk and hide behind their freaking doors while my husband's out there getting shot at and killed just so they can have that alcohol while Jason is out there delivering these goods and getting shot at, or, you know, my friend is in Wisconsin hearing gunshots, fearing for his freaking life, if, you know, while they're behind closed freaking doors. Closed doors. And then Elaine Chao has the audacity to come out and say that it is not their responsibility to keep drivers safe? Well, you know what I have to say about that? I'm going to curse. So if there's any children watching or listening, y'all got to mute this. You know what I have to say about that, Susie? This is what I have to say about that. Fuck Elaine Chao. Let the bitch starve. Let her starve and let her
Absolutely.
See how her and her freaking husband becomes concerned about our husbands or our wives' safety, our aunts, our uncles, our cousins, our grandmas, our grandpas, our family, Jason's, your husband's, anybody that is in the trucking industry. Let them starve. Let them miss their medication, their Xanaxes, you know?
Right.
Let them.
Yep, I agree 100%,
Lana. They'll be concerned, but you guys got to listen. You have got to listen to us. We need to lay down our swords. We need to lay them down, guys. We need to band together as a unity, as one, which we are. We are one unity. We are brothers and sisters. We are family of truckers. You know, lay down the damn sword. Put your ego and your pride aside. Stand together. Stand united. Stop delivering into these cities and putting your life in danger and putting your families through the stress of you going there and having to worry about whether or not you're going to flip and make it home. I'm going to tell you right now, as a wife of a freaking trucker, listen to me very clearly. I got enough worries on my plate, keeping this house running, taking care of the kids, taking care of these damn dogs, going to CDL school, dispatching my husband, running the business. The last thing that I want is for him to get some wild hair up his ass and think he's going to be some fucking cowboy. And oh, I'm going to go up in these cities and I'll shoot them. I'll run over them. No, you're not. You're not. Do not put that stress on me. Stop it. Guys, listen.
You know, that's one thing my wife worries about when I'm out by myself and she's not on the truck with me because she knows what kind of temper that I've got, you know. And, you know, I was talking about that road rage earlier, you know. I've been out here at times, and I've had people almost hit me, and I lay on my air horn, and they start flipping me off, and, you know, and all kinds of bull crap, and that's one thing that worries me about, like I said a while ago, going through St. Louis. You know, I go through there Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and when I go through there, I'm running 65 and 70 mile an hour. Because I don't want to stop or take a chance on getting stopped, you know, and getting robbed or getting killed or whatever, you know.
Yeah, I hear you. You said your wife is with you?
Yeah, Jason? She's with me this week.
Can we talk to her?
Yeah, hang on.
Okay, great. Susie, we're going to talk to Jason's wife, okay?
Hello?
Okay.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Good. Welcome to Lana's Talk. Miss Ellis, what's your first name?
Debbie.
Susie, yes. And I'd like to ask you some questions, if that would be all right with you.
That works for me.
Okay. So you are Jason Ellis's wife, and he is a trucker.
Yes.
Okay. And you don't go out on the truck with him all the time, right?
No, typically it's like every other week.
Okay, since these riots and looting has been going on, what's it been like for you to be the wife of him? Hey, Maureen, to know that there's a bigger possibility now with the world going crazy and the government not doing anything to help protect him. What's it feel like to know that he may not come
scary,
to you?
Very scary. Very scary.
Like
he said, we're connected somehow, either with the phone, headsets with the phone, or headsets in the FaceTime, pretty much the whole time he's out here rolling, just for that reason. It's just hard.
I'm not gonna try to scare you, but there was a woman, a truck driver. She was talking to her husband on the phone as well. And
yeah.
She got murdered. She got murdered.
Yeah, I know.
So is it been harder for you to sleep at night? What kind of stress?
I typically don't sleep very well when he's gone anyway. We're usually up till about 2 in the morning, but it's been worse. It's been worse since all this other nonsense is going on.
Yeah, Susie, you got anything you want to ask her?
What do you do? Like, I know you say that you're on the phone with him the majority of the time. You're somehow connected to him the majority of the time.
Yes.
But, like, I don't know. Do you have friends whose husbands drive, or do you have any family members whose lifestyle is the trucking industry?
No, not close
and
to
see,
us. He's the only one in our family that I know drives.
Do you find that
so
kind
you're
of difficult? Because it, for me, it feels like sometimes if you don't have a connection with someone else, they don't quite understand what it's like to have a husband who's a driver. They don't understand
right.
the worry and the fear. And,
yep.
And there's so much. It's so complex because you also have a lonely lifestyle.
Yep.
Yep.
It takes a special
and
kind of a couple to do this. It does take a special kind of couple to do this because they're gone a lot. You have, as a wife, you have to deal with things that he should be dealing with, but he can't because he's working. And I know when he comes home, the driving part, a lot of people think, and we've had this, a lot of people tell us, well, he drives, he sits all the time, and, not really stressful, nothing, but his job is more stressful than I think most, because he's stressed completely all the time, and now with all of this other stuff, it's double stress. He comes home exhausted.
I can only imagine.
Yeah.
What else you got for her? What else you want to ask her, Susie?
I don't think I have anything else right off the top of my head. I'm not going to say that something doesn't come up, but, next time someone says something like that to you, I want you to let them know. I looked this up today.
Yep.
The top 10 most dangerous jobs in America, trucking is the 6th most dangerous job in America.
Yeah.
And it's only logging came in first, fishermen and fishing-related workers. Then it was aircraft pilots and flight engineers, roofers, and believe it or not, this one is more dangerous than trucking, which kind of surprised me, was garbage truck workers.
Oh, goodness.
People who work. Yes, it was considered more dangerous than trucking.
And I wonder, when were those stats done? Because I wonder if those are going to change now that we've had all this other stuff going on.
These were done, I want to say it was 2018 was the last, earliest I could find.
It'd be interesting to find out now.
in 2019, an article from 2019, the trucking fatalities were the highest they had been in 30 years.
Oh, my goodness.
In 30 years, it had gone up more. It was higher than it had been in that in 1988 was the last time that they had a higher number of trucking fatalities.
Wow.
So, you know, so much for their e-logs, I guess.
Yeah. I know the one thing that I noticed the worst when I first came on the truck with him is how many people completely ignore the truck. You know, I mean, I'm talking four-wheelers and people in the silly stuff that they did. In fact, I did for the longest time when I first came on the truck with him. I was on Facebook every day saying, people, give them room. People, understand. Because, you know, it's just not what I'm thinking. And what I said at the time was, they don't teach that when you go in to get your do your driving test. They don't tell you how to share the road with a big truck.
They do not.
And I think that
you are absolutely
and
right.
I think they should. Because people don't understand that, hey, you know, they can't stop this fast. Can't. And it, if they have to push on their brakes, loads can shift and it can cause all kinds of weird stuff to happen. They don't get it. And it's because they're not being taught. I mean, we've got a young driver right now starting out, and he's going to learn. He's going to learn from us how to share the road.
You know, and that's it, is that they don't know how to share the road. And I know that most people, when they're driving behind or beside a semi, they're scared. Fear causes them to make a mistake. Or they are road raged because we might be going up a hill and our truck slows down because we have a load on or we don't have the turbo power that they have. So they get upset
Absolutely.
And try to go around us, you know, and then when we're coming down that hill, now they've gone around us and they slow down. They start slowing down. So now we got to start slowing down.
Yep.
They don't have any idea what it's like to try to slow down an 80,000 pounds a piece of machinery. You know, and
right.
I'm very, very curious, you know, since we're talking about safety, Susie, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. We probably shouldn't do it, but we're going to be touching on this because this is a hot topic, and I think we need to. You know, autonomous trucks are here. They're here. They're happening. So you people need to realize we had a window of opportunity to stop the autonomous trucks. Society outside of the trucking box had the opportunity to give their thoughts on autonomous trucks.
Yep.
But because we couldn't lay down our swords, we couldn't get along because we wanted the glam light or the glory or take credit for this or take credit for that or we're not going to trust this person or trust that person, instead of uniting together, autonomous trucks is here. How are you going to feel when you are driving down the road, Miss Ellis, and you look over and your husband is in a truck beside you, and you see a truck that looks just like your semi that your husband is driving, but there's not a driver in that truck? How does that make you feel?
Okay, say that again.
Your husband is driving on the highway. And you look over
right.
and you see another semi out beside you. But there's no driver in that semi, and it's on the highway beside you. How does that make you feel?
A little scared, I would say.
Why? What? Why? What's so scary about having an autonomous vehicle, right, on the road?
Because
it's controlled
they
by
do
a computer.
So much. Last-minute decision-making. A computer can't do that.
And why do
you
have to make
about the self-driving trucks, yes, we've touched on that, too. Because I don't know how there's such defensive driving that these drivers do out there. I don't know how any computer could do it.
I don't know either. Do you, Susie?
Well, yeah, I don't know how they can do it.
According to, I want to say it was the 60 Minutes program that aired, those trucks make 24 decisions per second.
24 decisions per second.
And how many seconds does the human, how many decisions does the human mind make per second?
Ooh, good question.
You know, I don't think I've ever, I don't think that's something that I know right off the top of my head. You know, and the thing is, here's the thing, ladies, autonomous trucks are already here.
I know
a lot of people believe that, you know, it's not going to happen in our lifetime, but I hate to break it to everybody. It's happening.
I have an answer for you. I have an answer for you. How many decisions does autonomous trucks make?
24.
24 every second?
Every second.
Okay, so the average person makes an eye-popping 35,000 choices per day. So that means that every two seconds, we're making a decision. Every hour, we're making 2,000 decisions.
Right.
There's
so a computer.
No way that it cannot keep up with the human body. It cannot. And it will not be able to make those decisions that needs to be made. Like Miss Ellis said, you know, at the very last second,
Decision to break, it's not going to know that when it makes that decision to break, there's not three cars bumper right on the bumper of that truck.
Exactly.
So as
You're
soon
right.
as they make that, it's just somebody's going to go right in the back of it.
Maureen Mullen Bullitt said it's happening, and that they are on the roads here already. Where are you at, Boblett? Where are you at? I'd like to know where she is, because she said they're already on the road. Call into the show. We want to hear about it, you know. So is the autonomous trucks going to make it a safer industry for our husbands to be in, our wives to be in, you know? Is it going to make it a safer industry?
If you have a minute, I don't know. I'm wondering now if I shared it to my – there's a public Facebook page, America Without Drivers. I posted an advertisement from Too Simple, which is one of the companies that are leading the way for autonomous trucking technology. And they actually did an advertisement, and they tried to put a warm, fuzzy bow on it. And I suppose they really did, and they were talking about things like fatigue. You know, a computer's not going to have the fatigue factor. You're not going to have to worry about whether or not that computer's drinking. You're not going to have to worry about whether it gets sick or, you know, so that's kind of the angle that they're coming at us from. You know,
well, computers can get
something.
Bugs too. And people
yes, you're
are
right.
vindictive
you're right.
enough to give them bugs. So what causes, what I mean, and this is just probably my silly thinking, I don't know, but what causes, I mean, all of that stuff is run on a mainframe, and all somebody has to do is put a bug in that mainframe to shut them all down. So then we have a whole entire interstate and a whole entire country shut down in a few seconds because somebody was malicious.
And they can also turn it into terrorism.
Exactly.
They can use that as a terroristic act. To take over the United States and, you know, kill
Absolutely.
Thousands and thousands of people. You know, you know, once we get the autonomous trucks implemented into the world and society becomes susceptible of it and society becomes in agreement with it like they have of the self-checkout at Walmart.
Yeah.
Don't think 1 minute that if you are a factory worker, you are a fast food worker, your jobs are gone. your jobs are gone because they don't have to worry about that computer having family problems. They don't have to worry about, you know, hey, give it
well,
a vacation.
Well, and they'll sell the general public on it because they'll sell the safety factor. They'll make them believe that this is going to be a safer way to do it. And with all the statistics that they put out there, they rarely tell you that that accident that happened was the four-wheeler's fault.
Yep, that's right.
Oh, but, you know, I bet that statistic will change. I bet that will change a whole lot. Once autonomous vehicles, now I'm just speculating, this is my personal opinion of it, but, you know, right now every lawyer in America advertises the whole, have you been injured by a big truck, you know? You know, we're flooded with those commercials and those billboards because it's always the big bad trucker's fault. So I will be very curious to see how that changes once their autonomous vehicles are on the road, because then you're going to have these multi-million dollar corporations that are going to say, oh, no, our trucks don't make mistakes, remember. These are computers.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right. You are absolutely right. So, you know, we have the riots going on, the looting going on, the coronavirus going on, more regulations. You know, these autonomous trucks need to be more regulated than the actual human being trucks. Susie, you and I was talking about that earlier. You know, we have, guys, this industry is a mess right now. You know, let's put down the swords, my friend Susie says. Give me the spiel. Come on, preach it to me, sister.
Oh, we just have to put our differences aside. And you know, this applies to everything going on in this daggum country that I love so much right now. We all need to lay down our swords, and we need to unite. And we need to fight for the things we love. And by fight, I do not mean burn, loot, riot, and maim innocent people.
Right.
We have to start holding ourselves accountable. And we also have to start holding our government accountable.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And we do that, you know, we are so powerful. Numbers are so powerful. And if we as a society would realize how much power we actually have, we could get a lot of change happening in this country. But it takes us setting aside our differences with one another, because no matter who you are voting for, Debbie, no matter who Lana's voting for, no matter who your neighbor is voting for, at the end of the day, we are all human. All any of us want to do is live a peaceful life, enjoy our lives, and love one another.
Absolutely.
Love one another. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, that brings up my next point. We have a good faith, and I do a lot of praying, and that's how I deal with it. I mean, with him, because that's the only way I could. That's the only way I could make it is having faith that with us and bring him home.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. Miss Ellis, what kind of advice would you give to other viewers out here on how to be able to deal with the anxiety, the depression, the stress of knowing that when your loved one walks out that door with the freaking world being as stupid as it is, and Elaine Chao and our senators and our congressmen not giving a shit about your husband's life, what advice would you give to them on how to to handle it. Because if you are stressed out because you're worried about his well-being, it causes animosity between you and him, period. That you just can't help it because you're just stressed. So on top of the more stress. So what advice
you have to
can
fight
you
that.
Give,
yes.
you know, to people that's listening, you know, what they can do, you know, to try to get some kind of peace. Find something that they can resonate with within themselves so that they're not stressed out, so that when their husband or wife calls, you know, they're happy, they're ecstatic to hear their voice. Or when they don't
right.
call their scheduled time, it's not that big a deal because you know they're going to call. That's a huge deal right now. If they don't call at their
yep.
scheduled time, that anxiety goes through the roof. Through the roof.
Oh, absolutely.
You're mad.
Absolutely.
You're mad, you're sad, and you're scared. And when they call you, all that comes out at once. And that's the last thing they want to hear when they call you. So what
right.
was your advice?
Why didn't you call me?
Yeah. Did you get, why did I call
you? The only
you?
Advice that, yeah, a couple of things that I make sure that I always do is when he leaves, it's on a good note. I mean, I never want us to be bickering or arguing about anything when he leaves. Like I said, I pray a lot, and I have my belief in God, and I know everybody is different, but that's just me personally. So, I mean, always keep it on a good note when they head out the door, and when you're talking to them, no matter how stressed you are, because you can reflect your stress onto them, and then they become agitated, and it affects their driving.
Yeah, 100%.
I have people I can talk to when I'm stressed out. I don't talk to him much about it because I don't want that reflected on him. So praise God, I have my mama still, so I can talk to my mama when things are, you know, bad. But I don't know. Always keep it on a good note. That's all I'm saying. Don't be bickering and fighting when they're driving down the road. I know couples have their moments and they do things like that, but wait till he's parked up and talk to him about it and communicate. Don't be doing that while he's driving. He's got enough to worry about. He or she has enough to worry about.
That's right. Susie, what kind of advice can you give to the viewers on how to handle the everyday stress of fearing, I'm just going to be blunt, fearing the fact that might be the last time you hear or speak to your loved one out there?
Well, for me, I mean, I get anxiety just like anyone else. And I do get that worried, you know, if I don't hear from him or for instance, you know, my mother-in-law passed away almost a month ago now. My husband called me that night, and of course he was emotional and upset. And when I answered the phone, you know, I couldn't really understand him because he was crying. My stomach just dropped because I thought, worst case scenario, I thought he had been in a horrible accident. So my biggest thing is, and I need to learn this as much as anybody does. I need to learn to be more positive. I need to learn that, you know, there are some things that are beyond my control. And I have to just have faith in my husband's abilities, number one, that he
mm-hmm.
knows what he's doing on that road, that he has the experience, that he is going to do everything in his power to stay safe. But I also have faith in God that he's going to bring him home safely. You know, and something else that I feel like everyone, if you don't have something to occupy your time, if you don't have small children or a job that you work outside of the home, you need to find something to occupy your time. You need to find a
yeah.
hobby. you need to find some volunteer work. You know, you cannot be idle, because idle time is the devil's playground.
Absolutely. That's what keeps me busy.
Right.
I stay busy running a business, so that's what keeps me busy.
Yeah, you're right. Well, I thank everybody for Susie, you have anything else you want to cover tonight, sister?
No, I think we've pretty much covered it, and I just want to say thank you, Debbie, for talking with us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on to Lana's Talk. Jason, thanks for letting us have your wife tonight. We really appreciate it. You know, guys, we need to put our swords down. We need to come together, and we need to unite together. We have to. We're going to have to. It's the only way that we as a trucking industry, are going to be vigilant to take back control of this country and take back control of as much control of our safety and our welfare. We need to come together, unite, and we need not to deliver into these cities or even into the states that are having riots and looting going on, because you're not safe and your life is not worth any dollar amount, because if you're dead, you can't spend that money. So I don't care if you pay $50 million.
Already, I'm back, ladies.
What, Jason?
No, I was just saying I was back.
Oh, okay. Okay. So I was just saying, you know, we need to come together as an industry. We need to unite together, and we need to stop delivering into these cities and states that are having the riots. Let them do without. Maybe the government will get involved and try to do something for our safety. You know, guys, remember.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, the trucking industry is not a glorious place to be. It is a very dangerous place to be. I realize that being at home, we are stressed out with home life. We're worried about our spouses, our girlfriends, our boyfriends. We need to figure out a way and let it resonate with you a little bit that whatever you're talking with them over the phone, is it not, can it not wait until they get home, so that it's not causing a more stress on them and making their jobs more dangerous than it already is. You know, if it's something that can be handled when they get home, let's stop. So I think let's focus here.
No, absolutely.
Let's agree. Let's come together as an industry and let's agree not to deliver into these cities that the rioting's going on. Let's not do it. Let's not take them their price. You know, we can do this.
Yep.
Why can't we put our big girl panties on and grow up and do what we should be doing? And that's protecting our own. Keeping our own.
Yep, I agree 100%.
Not worrying about what the federal government's going to do for us, because they're not going to do a damn thing for us. They don't give a shit about us.
No,
so
absolutely.
We have to give a shit about ourselves. We have to give a shit about Jason and Mr. Carlton and Keith Danko. You know, we have to care about you guys and figure out a way to get ourselves safe, to stay safe, so that we can keep our businesses open, we can keep working, and we keep providing for our families, you know? And that's the only way it's going to happen, is for us to unite together, all 3.5 million drivers. There are more drivers now because there are students graduating from school. But 3.5 million drivers as of January 1 of 2020. Unite together.
That's a lot of drivers.
Owner operators, company drivers, unite together. Refuse. Do not take product into these hot areas. Refuse to do it. They want to test their autonomous trucks? There you go. Attest your autonomous trucks. Send them into the
And
audience.
I agree with what Susie said a while ago. You know, we get all the drivers together, and all the drivers agree to stop, and, you know, the government would wake up and realize, hey, you know, we've got to do something, because you know, or store ourselves is getting bare. We're going hungry, you know, whatever.
Yes, that's right. That's right. That's the problem, is society has not had any repercussions. They're not feeling the hurt of being without supplies, being without medications, because why? We keep doing the same thing. We keep going from Doc A to Doc B to Doc C, you know? And so the world keeps running. The wheels keep turning. And more drivers every day is getting killed and attacked. And nobody's doing anything about
yeah.
it.
No,
so,
I agree.
You know,
and that's just like I was saying not long ago. Last week, my 12th year that I've been out here. And when I first started, you know, trucking was fun. But now it's, I don't know, it's ridiculous. It's dangerous. It's not safe or anything else anymore.
No, it's not. It's not fun. It's not safe. But trucking, you know, is in your blood. You know, like my husband, trucking's all he knows. It's who he is. And there's a lot of drivers that are still in the industry. This is Susie's husband. All he knows how to do is truck. He's a driver. Right, Susie?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. That's a lot of these guys who've been out here, you know, since they turned 21 years old, since they were old enough to get a CDL. Well, of course, at 18, you can drive intrastate, but 21 is when you get your big boy license, you know, and they've been out here, and this is all they've ever done. This is how they've taken care of their families. This is how they've thrived. You know, and it's such a sad situation because now, I mean, they've always kind of been treated like second-class citizens, but it's never been more obvious than it is in the year 2020.
Oh, you are. Yes, ma'am. You are so right. You are so right. So I guess we're going to end this segment with that. I do got some exciting news for you guys. So the week of September 13th, through the 19th, it is going to be Trucker Appreciation Week. And Lana's Talk is going to be giving out little trinkets like limited die-cast trucks, socks, hats, mugs, etc. And the only thing you guys need to do is you will just need to take a photo and you will need to post it up on social media and you will put hashtag ThankATrucker, hashtag TruckStop.com. You know, we, truckstop.com, I can't even say their name now, they have decided that they are going to be a proud sponsor of Lana's Talk because they really like our content, how it is not, you know, scripted, and it's just us. It's us being real people connecting with real people and making a difference, you know, being encouraging, empowering, and uplifting. So, September 13th through the 19th, we'll be doing some kind of little thing, you know, where Susie and I will come up with some kind of thing, you know, well, the first caller tonight's going to get their limited, you know, die-cast truck. We just need you to take a picture. Hashtag ThankATrucker, hashtag TruckStop.com. So you guys want to be listening that week. These are, like I said, limited die-cast socks, hats, mugs, etc. So it's going to be a super fun week.
Okay. If you don't care, can you send that to me in Messenger, please?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. We'll be promoting it more. I'll be putting it on Facebook. But, yeah, Jason, I'll most definitely send that to you. Yeah, I guess that wraps it up tonight, you guys. Everybody, please be safe out there. Turn on your CBs. Communicate with each other. Let the camaraderie become a real thing right now, you know. I mean, this killing has got to stop. Our people.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Our people has got to stop being attacked. You know, our industry got to stop being attacked. We're not doing anything wrong. We are innocent, innocent. And our government doesn't want to do anything to help us. So once again, I'm asking, I'm begging, put your swords down. Come together. Let's unite. Let's do something about this. You know, let's put a stop to it. Do you have anything you want to add?
I just want to tell everyone thank you for listening tonight, and you guys don't know how much we appreciate you. And Jason, Debbie, thank you guys for calling in and participating. And everyone be safe out there. Stay safe on those roads. Keep your head on a swivel.
Yes, ma'am. That is really good advice. Jason, thank you to you and Debbie. You guys
my main thing, is be safe. And I'm going to say one more thing before we can wrap it up. People don't realize that us truckers are the backbone of America. I mean, wake up, people. You know, we are the backbone. We are the ones that bring you your goods. We are the ones that bring you what you need. So wake up and quit targeting us truck drivers.
You're right. Wake up, America. Wake up. These people that you are killing, put those shoes on your feet, that food in your belly, that water to hydrate you so that you could go kill us, the medication to doctor you when you get harmed for attacking us. You know, the medication that your baby has because your baby is sick. We, the American truck drivers, are the ones supplying that to you to take care of yourself and your family. But yet, you target us. You kill us. You loot us. You attack. You destroy our equipment. Why? What did we do? What did we do? Oh, I know.
Exactly.
We gave you the ammunition to do it. Am I wrong? We gave them the ammunition to attack our drivers, to attack the people. We're the ones giving you that ammunition. Well, here pretty soon, we're going to lay these swords down, and we're going to stop providing you the things that you need to attack us, to kill us, to loot us. Because it's not right, and it's going to stop. It's going to stop. The American truck drivers will come together, and you will see a force that you have never seen before. It will be a day of reckoning. There will be no more innocent people dying for trying to just take care of America, to just try to take care of you, your children, your grandma, your grandpa, your aunt, your uncle, your brother, your sister. Stop.
Exactly.
Stop. Please, stop. Because we're truck drivers. We do not want to harm you. We are not soldiers. That is not our job. That is not what we signed up for. But it's coming. There will be a day, and it's coming. We are going to unite. We will unite. # Professional drivers matter. American truck drivers matter. All lives matter.
Yep.
So, thank you everybody for tuning in tonight. We will be back next week at 6 p.m. We're not sure what we're going to be talking about. We just kind of wing it. So, you know, we kind of like winging it. We don't want to be professional because we want to stay real. We want to stay attached. So,
well, I kind of had an idea that one thing is maybe fuel prices.
What about fuel prices, Jason?
I mean, you know, all of us come together and try to get something started, like a petition or something, you know, and to get these fuel prices brought back down.
Oh, okay. Well, we could do that, too. You think the fuel prices are going up?
Well, no, I just passed Love's up here in Boonville, Missouri, and fuel is already back up to $2.23 a gallon. And regular car gas is like $1.99 and $1.89.
Well, we better get on top of that because we don't need those fuel prices going back up because, you know why? It's because of Hurricane Laura. It's because the hurricanes are coming in. So now, you know, people are going to start taking advantage of other people's other people's problems. You know, they're going to start raising. Yes, misfortune. Thank you, Susie. Yeah, they're going to take advantage of it, and it's going to happen. And the, you know, who's going to be the first person to get hit? The American truck driver is going to get hit because of the misfortune that's happened to the United States of America. But we'll still come. You'll still get your food. You'll still get your medication. You'll still get your clothing and your supplies. We will always be here. We're not going anywhere. You can try to kill all of us, but for every one that you kill, 10 more come. So just know that. Remember that. So thank you. I'll see everybody next week. I love each and every one of you. It means so much to me that you take the time out of your day to tune into Susie and me and let us ramble and just talk about whatever and joining into our show. Yeah, that's all I got for you. I hope everybody has a good rest of their week and a wonderful weekend. If you're at home, put your phone down, put it away, stay off Facebook, embrace your loved one while they're at home. Spend time with them. Good night, everybody.
Yeah. I agree.
Thank you.
All right, good night, ladies.
Everybody.